I think we just...
Alright, cool.
It looks like sounds recording, so...
Okay, so we didn't forget how to do it.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
Hi, welcome back to the Drunk Poet Society.
Hi, I'm Felice.
I'm Taylor. And it's been a minute, so Rocky... We'll just get off to a Rocky start. It's fine.
Yeah, we're already there.
I don't remember how to fully do this, but... Because it's been a minute, but the book we read... So this was like fully just because we ended up both reading it.
It worked out. This was also, I would say, BookTok's fault. Would you blame BookTok for this one?
So, I mean, I think I probably even learned about the author from BookTok, I think.
Yeah. I don't know if I've read anything else by Colleen Hoover. I know that a lot of people like her.
Yeah.
Oh, also, this is Verity by Colleen Hoover.
Let's introduce the book. Verity by Colleen Hoover.
Yeah. It came highly recommended. Because it's so twisty. Ooh, it's so twisty.
I started reading Ugly Love. Couldn't finish it.
I was just going to say, if you are a person who has not read this book, don't listen.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you ever plan on reading this book, don't listen. Because...
It can be spoilers straight up front.
Yeah, so. We're not going to veil it. We're not going to do, like, our mid-stop. If you've been with us for a while, normally we do take a pause and say, like, oh, no, if you haven't read it yet, we're going to be making spoilers. No. Just don't. Just don't.
Yeah.
Maybe don't read it.
Yeah, obviously we have opinions. But it's a twisty book. We're going to give spoilers probably pretty early on. So stop, read the book if you really want to, or if you don't care and you just want to hear our opinions on it, let's trudge ahead forward. But... yeah, this was definitely a BookTok book, and the reason why I wanted to read it, because it was also actually the one that I put on our...
for a book club.
Book club, for Page Masters. Shout out to the book club Page Masters, because I know you all listen to this. but...
Oh my gosh, do they?
No. Okay. They don't know this exists. I put it on the list because it was so polarizing. So anyone that I knew read this book or any reviews that I saw were either like, it was great, it was so twisty, I was engaged the entire time, or I hated it, it was the worst thing ever, DNF,
Wow, DNF, that's serious.
Yeah, so...
Although I have been feeling more, like, okay with that lately. Life is too short, there are so many books.
Yeah.
Like, you might DNF.
Yeah.
You might have to.
You know, I think there's only one book, honestly, that I've ever DNF'd. It was a blind date with a book, and I'm blanking on the title, so I'm not going to do anything. But that was a hard DNF for me. It was Struggle City getting through that one. This one, I was morbidly curious enough the whole time, hoping it would get better.
Yeah.
And it didn't, so...
All right, well, today we obviously have Verity by Colleen Hoover, and we do have a cocktail, you know... We that's what we do.
Yes.
We pair things.
We tried to get back into this because I've been in like a drink rut in terms of like creativity.
I don't know if this is going to help us.
But before we like hop into that, I wanted to just share. So I made my own simple syrup for like the first time, and I did it with... So I made two different ones because I got a cocktail book called Free the Tipple. And it's all like inspiring women and based cocktails. And so I just opened it to the first page and I had all the ingredients to make it pretty much. It was the Frida Kahlo.
Aww.
They called for a hibiscus simple syrup, but I didn't have a straight up hibiscus tea. But I had two different teas that had hibiscus in it. One was more citrusy and one had like basil in it and something else. So I made two different simples. And the recipe was just like, it was in parts. So it was like one part your homemade hibiscus simple syrup, one part lime juice, two parts tequila. You shake, serve it like a martini.
Sure.
And I made both. And honestly, both were bomb. And this is the first time I'm going to say my husband on the podcast. previously my fiance, my now husband. He liked both, but like the citrus one with like the lime and stuff. But I loved the basil one too. So good.
I love the customization of making your own simple. Like one of my aunts gave me so much crap the other day and was like, you know that you can like buy this stuff. And I was like, I could probably go out and get lavender simple syrup. Like they sell it for coffee shops and whatever.
Yeah.
But if I make it at home, then it's like so fresh and so yummy and it turns everything purple. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Fun. It brings me joy and it's so easy.
Yeah. Super easy. But it was great. So I'm more making my own simple syrups because customization fun. All right. Today's drink though.
Today's drink is called a Liquid Coma. And if you've read the book, you definitely understand why I would say that. we took a cocktail that is not brand new. We did not make up this cocktail. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we do not. I am skeptical. So first of all, this is a shaken cocktail served up in, we served it in little snifters, little crystal snifters. It is 1.5 ounces of a dark rum. I use Navigator. It is 1/2 ounce of creme de cacao, mm-hmm. and 1/2 ounce of peach liqueur. We use peach schnapps. I made them both separately because we had a tiny shaker, and mine looks a lot more watery, so I don't know if we're going to have different reactions here.
We'll see.
or I didn't, like, all of the specifications were the same. So, all right, let's see.
That's it. Cheers it.
Cheers.
Oh, my goodness.
It smells like peach. It smells like peach alcohol.
It does smell like, yeah, peach alcohol.
Okay.
Huh. I'll be honest, it's not as bad as I anticipated.
No.
It almost tastes, almost, because of the cacao and the rum, mm-hmm. it tastes like a stout. Like a kind peach of
creamy.
Stout.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A little creamy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy that, so the peach, they were equal parts of the peach and the cacao. I'm glad that you just kind of get the mouthfeel from the cacao and none of the flavor, because the peach is really strong.
Yeah.
And the rum kind of just smelled like alcohol. It didn't smell super.
I wonder if, like, I mean, obviously changing the liquor would change the flavor profile. Mm-hmm. But this one is peach heavy, and it kind of tastes like a creamy peach alcohol. But like I said, almost that mixture of rum and cacao reminds me of like a stout almost. But
it's not unpleasant. I thought it was going to be bad.
Probably not one that I would do, like, oh, let me order that every time. Or...
No, and I bet if I was at a bar, like, this seems like a tiki drink. Mm-hmm. If I was at a tiki bar, still not the drink I would order. Like, I would definitely get something.
But if it was served to me, I wouldn't, you know...
Spit in the bartender's face.
Yeah, that's the reaction I usually have when I have something I don't like. I spit in their face.
You spit in their face. I think that your brother and my husband would like this, but they are rum drinkers.
Yeah.
And we are not. But we can't just give you gin all the time, can we?
I don't.
We could.
But I mean, we could.
We could.
You know, it's our podcast, our life. So,
we both had really, really strong reactions to this book. And because of that, I actually kind of went a non-traditional route. And I looked up book club questions.
Love
because
it.
I thought that would be a good way.
Because
we have so much bias. And like, we could just talk shit about this book for a really long time. We could. Or we could be constructive and we could look at this, you know, look at the literary divide. I can't even say that. Okay, here's the trouble, folks. There are really good twisty books out there. And on this podcast, we have actually read a bunch, right?
Yep.
Girl on the Train.
Woman in the Window.
Woman in the Window. Did we do Sharp Objects?
Or
did we just read that? We just read it.
We just read it.
Sharp Objects. Looking at even Gone Girl, like looking at all of these books that were like, had this kind of profound twist that you weren't necessarily expecting. And then you're like, oh, I read another one recently also, too, and I can share this at the end, that had a twist, but it had, like, a supernatural twist, and it almost pissed me off. I was like, that's a twist, yeah, but, like,
not what I.
It's kind of a scapegoat twist, because, like, if you're adding supernatural stuff to, like, a realistic
just
book,
every rule
you're
you
just like, oh, well, you know, anything's possible now.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get a little started with...
Do we need to do brief summary or anything like that?
I mean,
I'll
maybe
do a super
you can
quick.
Do a summary. Okay,
all right, yeah, super quick. Is basis of the book is we are introduced immediately to Loewen, who is an author of like a smaller known author, like still successful, can pay her bills mostly, but she's struggling at the moment. Anyways, she is offered. We'll do the whole. We don't care about the meat cute or whatever. Mm-hmm. Blah blah blah. It's not even like cute.
No,
not that all meat cutes are cute, but. So she's offered a gig by the husband and the publisher of a very successful author of a series of books where the books are written from like the villain's point of view. So very intriguing, same genre of book that Loewen writes. And that author is Verity Crawford and the husband is Jeremy Crawford. And so this is offered to her, and at first she's like, oh, no, I couldn't possibly, because she doesn't love, like, press and stuff. Which, honestly, they introduce all these character elements, which I feel like are thrown away later and don't really matter. So it's like, we're learning, oh, she's, like, shy and stuff, but it doesn't play out for anything in
the
end.
Right, yeah.
So in order to start this book series, she's invited to the Crawfords' home for initially, I think, like a night or a weekend, and she doesn't
really... I thought it was an afternoon.
Or something. Anyways, and it turns into this whole thing. Yeah. But she's invited to the house to go through Verity's office to get more of an understanding of her writing process, if there's maybe any starts to books already, etc. We find out it's because Verity was in a car accident, or what we're told in the beginning is Verity was in a car accident, and she is very injured to the point where she cannot finish her series. We don't really know the extent of it. It becomes more and more clear as we learn more about it. We find out there's like a home nurse, and she is not in a vegetative state because she can move and she can eat, but we're told like she has no mental capacity to do much else or to think.
She's like kind of comatose almost.
Yeah, we don't, like, they don't know what she is actually gaining from like people talking to her, but anyways. Lowen finds a manuscript, which is appears to be an autobiography. And she's reading through it, and horrible, terrible stuff which we can, like, get into later. But, like, horrible stuff in there. She thinks Verity is just this horrible, terrible person. Like, really, like, a murderer, like, essentially. And
literally.
Literally. Yes, literally. And then cut to, you know, she gives eventually gives the manuscript to Jeremy. Jeremy's like, oh, my gosh, where'd you find this? And we have to do something. And they figure out that Verity actually isn't as injured as they previously thought she was. And they think that Verity could, again, murder again or run away with their son. We also find out that, like, both their daughters died, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, okay. And then... Lowen and Jeremy are falling in love, which is also a weird timeline thing that I want to unpack. And then, I guess, again, spoilers, the whole ending is Jeremy and Lowen end up killing Verity. And then they, like, are falling in love and moving out of the house. In the process of moving out of the house, Verity finds then a note hidden in a floorboard, which is essentially saying nothing in my...
Lowen finds a note.
Sorry, Lowen. What'd I say?
Verity.
Oh, sorry.
Lowen is deceased.
Verity's deceased. Lowen finds a note hidden in the floorboard of Verity's room that essentially says, everything was made up in the autobiography, actually. So none of that is true.
That was fiction.
Haha, I hope you... And then I hope you find this note, Jeremy, and whatever.
I'm sorry that I've been lying.
Yeah, and I'm running away with our son now.
Yeah, crew knew all along.
Yeah, and that's the end.
And
so there's so many problems with this that I'm sure will impact, but I want to go to whatever questions you may have.
That's the end.
That's the whole thing. And I know, like, the frustrating part is you're supposed to be like, oh, it's so twisty, because is the autobiography true or is the note true? Or, you know, all this, like, speculative stuff. And ultimately, I don't care.
I don't care. I don't even care a little bit. And, like, the fact that this book was so recommended... And I like these twisty things. Yeah. Like, I read, I think, 4 books by Lucy Foley in a matter of, like, 2 weeks. Because I was like, ooh, these are going to be so twisty. And all the chapters are by different people. And that's so great. And if you like twisty books, read those. Don't read this. But I think it was so simplistic. And also, maybe for people who don't read... spicy books, they were like so intrigued by how spicy this got that you're like oh, like, this is new for you, huh?
I was like, gonna say, this is kind of if this was a new book to twisty and spicy, I can see where it's like, if this was the intro, people were like, look at this genre, it can be so interesting. But people,
it's not.
But people who read spicy and or twisty genres are like, this is not a good book for either, you know?
And it's not necessarily like it's not fetishized. Like, I don't want to say that the sexual representations in Verity are, like, over the top or not realistic or anything like that, because they're not anything exceptional. But it's also, it felt very, like, it's meant to feel voyeuristic because you're reading someone's autobiography. Mm-hmm. But then once Lowen started, like, repeating things with Jeremy that she read about in Verity's thing, that's when it was like, that's gross. That's gross.
It's
the biting on the headboard.
The thing that Lowen is doing is the weird gross part. Yeah. Yes. Not anything that Verity and Jeremy...
No, any of their consensual sexual relationship, whatever. Yeah. The writing and how she became so, like... what's the word that I'm thinking of? Resentful toward the children. the girls after they were born and how, like, oh, Jeremy doesn't want to have sex with me anymore and I just need to, like, suck it up and make him see me as a seductress again and someone he's going to, you know, screw in the back of a limousine. Wasn't that how they met?
Yeah.
They just, like, had sex in this limo. So we can do some of these questions because, again, we have a lot of. So, big question. Who do you think is the villain of this book? Who do you think is the villain?
Well, I have a few thoughts on that. Number one, timeline-wise, correct me if I'm wrong, this is all happening very quickly. Like, you know, she's not at that house for...
Loewen was not there long, no.
No. So, they meet, like, Jeremy and Loewen meet at this meeting where they're going to propose the author deal to her.
Well, first he gives her his t-shirt in the bathroom after she spills coffee.
Yeah. So, like, they have their meet cute moment, and we find out that he's read Loewen's book, at least one of Loewen's books. But all of this is happening so rapidly fast, and I guess I didn't understand how this affair unraveled in the time frame that it did.
Yeah, because you're right, it had to have been about, what, 2 weeks?
At most.
Yeah. Maybe it, 10 days. Yeah, maybe not a long
like,
time.
It was a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
And throughout all this, Loewen really doesn't know Jeremy at all, except for... he was nice enough to give her a shirt and she, the only thing, again, she might just have this really warped sense of whatever.
You've got Verity's obsession too.
Yeah.
Through the autobiography.
Yeah. But like Jeremy then, like it almost feels like it was implied that Jeremy picked Loewen because he already had a crush on her. Mm. But it's like, you didn't know Loewen. So I guess I was really confused how this, I understand like a quick infatuation or something like that, but this felt like it moved to, and we're in love and we have to kill Verity together within like a 10-day span. So in terms of like, who's the villain, like that's a hard one because it's like, I feel like they all suck.
Yeah. Well, and the, I think the issue too is how much does Jeremy know? Like, obviously, there's... I don't want to say there's mental illness somewhere. Something is going on somewhere. Like, there's murder. There's multiple murders.
Yeah.
If you would have the autobiography to believe, there's two murders of that Verity did. Both girls, right?
The first girl...
So the first girl was an accident. It was, like, the wrong one.
It was peanut butter.
Yes. Peanut allergy. Yeah.
The second one was the boat. Died.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, that was so upsetting reading those things.
Yeah.
I don't think that Jeremy is this, like, super innocent widower.
No.
Well, he acts like a widower. He's not a widower, but he acts like one.
Something to just touch on. Have you heard about the extended version that's been released?
I text you about that, but I have not looked into it.
I have not looked into it.
I'm except morbidly for curious.
It came up on a TikTok thing about it. And I mean, I'm not going to read it because I don't want to invest any more time into this. But essentially, it comes out that Crew and Jeremy are both like crazy or something.
Great.
So I guess a lot of people don't like it. So I don't know what that means. Okay. Take with that what you will. But
So I think Loewen is worse unless the autobiography is true. If the autobiography is true,
ultimately, I think...
Damn. Like but Loewen... Mm.
Yeah, I think it's hard because Loewen's our narrator, right?
Yes.
So I think because we have Loewen's perspective, Loewen seems like the worst person to me because she is having this affair. She is having this obsession with this guy. She's having those kind of like weird sexual moments with like the wanting to do the same things Verity did. She keeps information from Jeremy and is consciously knowing that she's doing the wrong thing, but is choosing to do the wrong thing. And then ultimately she aids in the murder of Verity. Mm-hmm. So we don't really know how much Jeremy knows, like you said. We don't know whether or not Verity was telling the truth in that final letter, if that was a cover up or if she was actually saying, no, this was just a writing exercise, which I have a hard time believing that you needed to be this specific in a writing exercise.
Very detailed. And it was long. Yeah. Long and detailed.
And it's like, I don't want to judge how people cope with various deaths because I don't want to imagine, like, the death of a daughter.
No, of course not.
But, like, that does seem like something she... I don't want to throw it around like nonchalantly, but something that should have been handled in therapy and maybe not like a writing exercise, you know?
Yeah.
Like, again, I don't want to judge people on how they cope, but that just seemed like an unhealthy expression to me, you know?
Also, if I'm being real, so you talked about Loewen keeping things from Jeremy. I feel like, first of all, if I was in Loewen's position, I'm a planner, you're a planner, I would have booked like an Airbnb. There is no way in hell I am sleeping in that place.
But to be fair, she didn't have money, right?
True, true.
So she was like...
But like, absolutely not. I just would have like taken the bus or the train or something back to New York from Vermont.
Yeah,
I would not have stayed there. But also, I feel like I wouldn't have kept the manuscript to myself for so long.
No.
I also probably would have devoured it. It seemed like she was like, ooh, let me eat this in nibbles. Let me just read a little bit every night.
No, that would have been like I would have been up all night.
Yes.
I would have had to call somebody. Like, even if I couldn't talk to anyone in the house, and I would have been out of that house so fast.
Gone.
Like, sorry, not taking the deal. Like,
bye.
Distancing myself from this.
Dude. Oh, yeah, no, absolutely not. So many red flags.
Call your publisher.
Your agent, your
sleeping
somebody.
Buddy.
Like, oh, they were like friends with benefits or something, right?
Yeah. Friends with benefits, dude. Be like, sorry,
dude,
this is...
help it out. But just so many red flags everywhere. Yeah. And like, I get it also that kids are sometimes fanciful. How old was Crew? Like 4 or 5? I don't remember.
Yeah.
But when he is telling you that his mom is saying things and doing things, like, maybe believe him.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she wasn't like, don't tell anybody that we're doing this. Don't tell anybody. Yeah. This book skeeved me out so hard. And I think that one thing that makes twisty books so profound and so, like, intriguing is the realistic component.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I finished this one, I was like, that would never freaking happen. This wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
This is not a book that is realistic. And that is why it was not impressive to me when it got twisty. I don't know how you feel about that. Like, the realism, does that matter to you in a twisty book?
No, for sure. If you have... Like, the whole point of a twisty book is you have to explain what I have been trying to figure out for the entire book. And I felt like, with this one, exactly what you said. It wasn't realistic. I don't believe the explanation.
Yeah.
And also, you're still leaving... us, not that, again, I think I've said this before, but like, I don't need books to be wrapped up in a bow at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I like the idea that it's like, oh, we're gonna leave you with the idea of who was right and who was wrong. But I think just the construction of that, it's like, I actually don't care at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they built up all these like character plots or character points for Loewen that led nowhere.
Yeah.
It ultimately just ended with, I'm in love with Jeremy too. Like, mm-hmm. That was her main character thing at the end of the day, was like, and I'm in love with Jeremy, and we're gonna go live, we have to kill Verity and live happily ever after. And it's like,
Verity's crazy.
So it's like, we don't care what happened to agent, publisher, friend. We are done grieving our mom. We don't care about apartment we left. Like, anything that made Loewen Loewen, we don't care about anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She's just Jeremy's partner now.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I have hate read a book so much since... Actually, I shouldn't say hate read, because I hated Wicked,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't want to finish that one. Like, this one, I had to finish it.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was hate reading. The other one, I was just, like,
had
trudging.
To finish because we were reading
it.
Because
we were reading it for this. But I feel like it would be irresponsible of me, if we're doing it for this purpose, to, like, discuss it on the podcast, to be like, nope, not going to finish
what
that.
What about... What was Julia Quinn? What was that one?
Oh, God. the Duke one.
Yeah.
That's the Bridgerton book.
The Bridgerton.
Yeah.
The first Bridgerton.
Maybe I hate read that one, too.
I hate read that one. That one was rough.
Oh, God. All right. Well, we could. So, yeah. Didn't think it was believable. Didn't like it. Read Sharp Objects. Read. Oof. Man, that book was messed up.
Yeah.
All
right. Before we go on to our next question, this might be a good time for a quick little break.
A little break.
All right. See ya.
Bye. Ooh, okay, so this isn't in my list of things for the book club, but I am really curious as to, like, what do you think the future holds for Loewen and Jeremy and Crew? Like, what is their life like now?
All right.
I know you don't care. I'm just kidding. Because
oh,
I don't care, but I'm just... it'd be interesting to think, like, what are they doing after this?
Yeah, like, do they just move to a new house?
Yeah.
And Loewen...
keeps writing as Verity?
Finishes the series? Like...
And is, like, mom to Crew?
Yeah, and also, I guess, publicity-wise, does it get out that Verity is now dead?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, will that have an effect on their income in the sense that, like, Loan has to now finish the series, but now it would probably be out that it's not Verity writing anymore.
Because the publicity, they knew she was in an accident, but they didn't know that anything was wrong.
Yeah.
They knew she was, like, a recluse or something.
They were trying to keep it really quiet so they could finish the series.
Yeah.
So it's like, but I'm sure the death would come with, like, some kind of publicity.
Probably. I mean, think about, let's think of an author in comparison. Maybe, like, I almost said J.D. Robb, but that's not her actual name. Like, a Nora Roberts. Imagine Nora Roberts had this thing, and, like, she was in an accident. People who read her books would probably care, even though she has, like, 100,000 like books
James
that she's written.
Patterson or something. Patterson. Like, with a bunch of ghostwriters.
Well, Patterson does have a lot of ghostwriters, right? I imagine that Nora Roberts probably does, too. She writes under, like, three different, like, names. But, my youth of reading Nora Roberts' romance trilogies. Oh, my God.
Okay, so here's my pitch.
Yes.
We're not going to romanticize this. Here's what I think really happens.
Thank you.
They're going to be like, oh, we're in love in this, like, whirlwind romance. They're going to move out.
Mm-hmm.
Loan's going to try and finish the series, but then news comes out that Verity's dead, and no one cares about the books anymore. They actually have, like, a raid. They're like, we don't want any more books if Verity Crawford's not writing them. So now Loan is back to being her, like, introverted, mm-hmm. Don't really want to go out and do publicity things, going to write my little books and, like, just maintain status quo. Jeremy is no longer infatuated with Loan, because, mm-hmm. like, the whole thing was just, like, this weird, like, whirlwind thing, like, oh, my wife is dying, and now she's murdering, blah, 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 you helped me murder her, but now he's like, I actually don't love you. That was just, like, a romantic, like, weekend thing.
Ooh.
And also, my main priority has to be crew, and I actually want to go back into whatever he was doing, real estate, something like that. He was doing something, like, successfully before he gave up his career for his wife.
Right.
Like, actually, I kind of want to go be a bachelor again.
I want to be a broker thing.
Yeah, so she's going to be, like, sad. They're going to part ways, and she's going to have to go back to her agent and be like, excuse me, whatever your name is, I forgot, because you weren't actually a big character in this at all. I need money again, please, thank you. And then they're going to end up sleeping together, and they're going to go in their separate ways. That's my prediction. What about you?
Maybe just more murder. I don't know. Like, it seems like they have no scruples.
Once a murderer, always a murderer.
Like, who's it going to be? Is Jeremy going to get bored and be like, oh no, there was a blow dryer in the bathtub. Like, I don't know. I don't want to assume that these people are horrible, but they are. And there is a small child involved.
Yeah.
But I hated them all. So I really don't care if somebody gets murdered in this fictitious world.
Perfect.
Yeah. Perfect, perfect, perfect.
Another murder happens. Perfect.
I don't know about you, but this doesn't make me want to read more Colleen Hoover. And that makes me feel, like, I feel bad just panning an author because I didn't like one book.
Yeah.
But it seems like so many people are like, this is our best book. Oh, my gosh. And it's like a little culty thing kind of going on with it. Would you read anything else? I know you said you didn't finish another one of her books.
Yeah, I DNF'd Ugly Love. I tried. It was in a time, this is probably going back last summer.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a... Ellen Hildebrand? Aaron Hildebrand?
Aaron
Hildebrand. I was in that kind of phase where I was reading, like, Nantucket romances.
Yeah.
And all of those were cheesy. I was like,
those are great summer books.
Yeah. And sometimes, like, no offense to any of these authors, by the way, because, like, it is tough writing a book. I know we preface this all the time. It's, like, it's no easy feat. And also, if you're going to, like, be getting awards and you get a cult following, like, kudos to you. Who cares what we have to say? These are just, like, opinions. But, Aaron Hildebrand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Hildebrand. Those aren't, like, brilliant works of anything. To be honest, I could poke so many holes.
Sure.
And there's a large enjoyment factor that comes with it. Now, this is a book that you could poke a lot of holes and didn't come with that enjoyment factor. So that's where it really hit for me. So I'm not craving another go at this author currently. But that being said, because it was one of those, like, hate read books that I couldn't put down.
Yeah.
If someone else said, but you have to try this, I probably would give it a go.
Yeah.
What about you?
I mean, I think that my main issue is not necessarily the overhype, because sometimes people overhype books and you're like, oh, okay, that was fine. like ACOTAR. People are crazy about ACOTAR. I enjoyed it. I like the second book better. Like, I'm reading another series of Sarah J. Maas. Like, whatever. Okay, yeah. I get it. Don't quite get the hardcore, like, ACOTAR fans. But I, again, I found enjoyment in the books, just like you said. However, this book was praised as being very clever and as this and that. And that's my problem. Like, people don't say Erin Hildebrand writes these, like, intricate, clever books or Sarah J. Maas or, like, any of these other things. Like, the world building, sure. Yeah. I could agree with that. People said that about this one, and I was just so underwhelmed. Like, kind of like the one I said earlier where it was the, oh, when you turn it to a supernatural, anything can happen.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, and probably not. Not unless I had time and my TBR was low, which it never is.
No,
like,
I have a million books
My TBR is disgusting right now, and I'm having a really hard time. I'm not in a slump, but I think that because I'm reading a Sarah J. Maas book right now that's like 800 pages, I'm really struggling to, like, crap, I have to finish that.
Yeah.
And then I didn't really enjoy the last one I finished. I know that you enjoyed it more, the Daisy Jones and the Six. So I think I just need, like, a book that I'm going to devour and really, really love.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's going to be yet. Yeah. I have Dangerous Education is on my list, so I'm hoping that one's really good. So we'll see. But,
That one, I mean, maybe we should just, I think a lot of people are going to, so in our other book club, I think a lot of
people
are going
to. That's on the list for Dangerous Education, right?
I think a lot of people will get through Verity quite quickly. And if we want to just make that one our next book, might be fun to read, so.
Yeah, I mean, I also actually, maybe I'll name drop Courtney Kay, a girl I went to high school with that I was friends with, wrote a queer romance novel.
Oh, yes.
And it's, I'm so excited to read it. I picked it up on presale from, what do you call it, Rich Bodice, naturally.
Yeah.
And her second book, so her first book is about two women. Her second book coming out this Christmas is two men. And, like, I'm very excited to read. You know, maybe that'll what'll get me back in. Like, it. God, I love romance. Yeah. I love queer romance. And, like, just.
Well, I'm excited to talk about, I think soon we'll talk about Keese McQuiston's new, the YA.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I Kissed Shara Wheeler.
Shara Wheeler. Yeah. I love Keese McQuiston. Okay, we do have to finish with Colleen Hoover.
Okay. Before we get sidetracked.
Okay, so.
Talk about all the other books we want to read.
I know. Oh, this is terrible. Welcome back. So, one thing about this, because, again, we didn't really like any element of it. There was so much of it that was... I don't know. One thing that I will say, and you kind of touched on this a little bit, was the open-endedness. So I like an open-ended story. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we don't really get that a lot in books or film because so many people, especially in the States and in just American books and American cinema, really like clear endings and, like, was it good? Was it bad? Did something happen? The interesting thing about this open ending is I hated them both, and, like, I don't really want either of them to be true, because in reading the manuscript, like, my jaw dropped a lot, where it was like, oh my god, you literally hate your children, but not both your children, only one of your children.
Yeah, well, originally, like, both children.
Originally both, and then grew to, like, one of them.
Yeah.
Right. And then you had your spare, and that's fine. But, like, you're in the mind of a horrible person, and here's the deal. Okay, as a person who has had anxiety and depression and other things, like, you have intrusive thoughts. Intrusive thoughts are absolutely a thing. None of us are just, like, 100% pure, amazing human beings all of the time. However, this is, like, everything that you're doing is so conniving. Like, from the first moment that she is introduced to Jeremy, it's just, like, I'm obsessed. What can I do? How can I keep this man? How can I keep this man? How can I keep this man?
Yeah.
And it wasn't one of those moments where it's like, you know, when something's really romantic, but at the same time, you're like, oh, and that's the moment the feminism left my body.
Yeah, yeah.
None of the things with her felt like that. It was all just like, none of this feels natural. Jeremy doesn't realize it. But then when you're trying to believe it and you're like, ooh, is the manuscript real? Is the manuscript not real? It's like, someone still had to come up with that. So, and I don't think that Colleen Hoover is a terrible person for coming up with these things, but even if Verity is writing this as an exercise, like, I'm the villain, I'm writing this, and it's like, you still had to come up with that shit about your own family. Like, you, this is still autobiographical in some way.
Yeah.
I don't even think I could come, like, and I'm not a perfect human being. Yeah. I am not saying that about myself, but I don't think I could come up with that horrible stuff.
Yeah.
There are times, and this sounds so lame, like, we have pets, you and I have pets. If there was a period where my cat was waking me up every morning at 5 a.m., and my first thought was, like, I understand why people shake babies. Like, I can finally think of that. Yeah. Like, oh my God. Like, I'm not going to hurt him. I'm not going to kill him. But I can finally understand this, like, I'm sleep deprived.
Yeah.
I just tell me what's wrong with you and let me help
Use
you.
Use words.
Yeah. Use your words, damn it. But I still could not think of some of the things she came up with in that manuscript.
It reminds me of the How I Met Your Mother episode with, why am I blanking on Jason Segel's, Marshall.
Marshall,
yes. Marshall, when he wants to dream of another woman, and he's like, I have to kill you off first, so that way I'm not cheating on you. And so he has this, like, whole thing where he, like, dreams about, what's his wife's name?
Lily.
Lily. He's like, he dreams about the way that Lily dies, and then he can, like, lust over another woman. And I was like, that's the extreme.
Is this just, like, I don't remember this. Is this, like, in a fantasy where he, it's, like, a masturbatory fantasy? Actual dream?
He's telling Lily, like, well, this is how I feel bad because I'm married to you, if I find another woman attractive. So if I'm going to have a dream about, like, getting with another woman, I have to kill you off. Or she's like, oh, don't kill me off. Just, like, have sex with her in your dream. Like, I don't.
Stop killing me.
But he's like, she dies of, like, a horrible, like, hiccup accident. Like, she can't stop hiccuping. And then she just, like, passes away. And then he can be like, ooh, who's this lady?
Oh, my God. That.
But I was like, that's, like, the extreme, like, nice guy trope of, like, I could never hurt my wife. So, or, like, emotionally or physically. So I have to, like, have her die so that way I can, like, have a sex dream about another woman. Yeah. Anywho's, totally off topic, but that's what it reminded me of, because it's like, this person's just like, nah, I'm gonna write down, like, my harshest thoughts ever with, like, no remorse. Or
she's kind of the only not boring character, though. Like, would you agree that Jeremy and Lowen are both, like, bland?
They're pretty bland, and also, yeah, very.
You said there's no through way of the character traits.
Any character trait that is brought up doesn't really play out to anything in particular, and so I don't really care about either of them. Like I said, in my imagination, Lowen's just going to go back to, like, writing her own books and living in a one-bedroom apartment, you know? Like, she's pretty bland in my head.
I will say that if this ever was adapted, I wouldn't pay money for it. However, you know what scenes that I would want to see? The scenes I would want to see are, like, when Lowen is in the master bedroom, because for whatever reason, that's where they put her. Mm-hmm. That's where Jeremy had her sleep.
Totally makes sense.
Totally super, super normal.
Not like, here's the couch, like, or here's a spare bedroom.
Locks the door and puts the dresser in front of it, and there's still, like, someone trying to get in, or, like, Verity gets in the room, or whatever that is, and then we see Verity, like, the top of the stairs, were they, like, making out?
They were, like, kissing on the couch.
Couch, and Verity's just at the top of the stairs, like, super pissed. I think those are the scenes I want to see. Okay. Not off topic, but, like, kind of on this adaptation thing, because you know that they're going to do it. You know they're going to adapt this if it's not already in the works.
Yeah.
Because so many people liked it. Who is playing these characters?
Ooh.
Because they're all, let's see, Lowen's probably, like, late 20s.
What's her butt from 50 Shades? She's someone.
Oh, Dakota Johnson?
Yeah.
Would be Lowen.
Lowen.
I think Verity, did you ever watch Dexter or Chuck?
I watched a few episodes of Dexter.
You know, the blonde, well, they might have not gotten to there. I'm going to have to look up her name.
Yeah.
But she's very tall. Oh, she's also in Handmaid's Tale. She plays the wife of...
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Wouldn't she be great as Verity?
I
need to look up her name.
You need someone who's, like,
for the pod,
conventionally, like, beautiful, but can look like she could either be, like, the villain or just, like, the trophy wife, you know?
Yeah. She's super hot, too.
And Jeremy?
Yvonne Strahovski.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, definitely. Serena Joy. Serena Joy. That's another one.
Yeah.
I've been watching the show, and I still, I think, will continue to watch the show, even though it's kind of, like, ventured, and even though it's, like, too much crap is happening in the States right now for me to, like, feel comfortable watching it. It's a little too real. It's like a, yeah, what's his name? Like a, it's a Mike Pence, like dream world. Mm-hmm. That was very different from the book. So maybe, yeah. Maybe Verity, if they adapted Jeremy? It, maybe it'd be better. Who would play Jeremy?
You know, it's like, I feel like
he has to be cute.
Conventionally attractive.
Kind of like a fratty.
Yeah.
Like someone named Chad. They should have named him Chad, not Jeremy.
Jeremy. But also, like...
Sorry, Chads.
And also, like, again, I don't mean to, like, diss any actors in this because it's, no. Like, we're talking about how much we hate the book. But, like, no. When I think about who the character is, it's like a... Who am I thinking about?
Chris Pine?
Yeah.
Is he too nice? No, he's kind of, like, he could look really nice guy, but he could also be really, like...
Chris Pine could do it. Could do it. I could see that. I'm going to go with Chris Pine for now because I can't think of anyone else. But if I think of it.
Because he could play the nice guy and, like, the doting father.
And then who also turns murderer.
Yeah, and also, like, sex fiend.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that. Yeah. All right. Solid picks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dude. This book did not take me very long.
Yeah.
I will say something that it was probably average size, about, like, 300 pages or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I read it in maybe like 3 days.
Yeah.
And I read it, I think maybe over winter break or spring break or something. It was a time when I wasn't in school. Because I normally read before bed, like every night. That's kind of how I like get into it, maybe for like 20 minutes. This, I think maybe the last day I was like, damn, I need to finish this. Yeah. Like, I want it to be over.
Yeah.
And I feel like that, a lot of this book, I was just like, how is it still happening?
Yeah.
How is this book not over yet? Because then you get those shocking moments where you're like, ooh, damn.
Yeah.
How long into the book did it take you to guess the twist? Because I'm positive you guessed it before we actually got to it.
Well, what's the twist you're talking about? Because I feel like...
Oh, not the very end twist of like, it wasn't real, but that Verity is actually mobile and faking it all.
I mean, like...
Because that's the first twist, right?
Yeah. It's like, she's faking it. I knew that from the beginning.
Yeah.
I feel like from the moment I, like... heard about her, the extent of her injuries and stuff, I was like, oh, she's not hurt.
Well, and especially since she does have the ability to, like,
eat and stuff, like, even, like, medically. I mean, like, again,
always got Crew who's like, my mommy told me this, yeah, and my, like, mommy said that.
It's like you were pointing at it the entire time. Like, it was not a shock when that became apparent.
And someone trying to open the door when you know that Jeremy is, like, elsewhere.
Also,
and
what are your thoughts on the sleepwalking aspect of it? Because, again, one of those things that's, like, brought up about Lowen, and then really doesn't come to fruition about anything.
Nothing really happened.
Like, you have one scene of like, oh my god, we're locked in the room and he has to climb out the window, but beyond that, like, I thought that was going to be like a major twist, like, oh, Lowen is actually like a murderer or something, you know, like,
yeah,
like, in her sleep, like, whatever.
I did think that was going to go further.
It went nowhere,
right? Because that's why she was locking the door. She was locking the door to keep herself inside, mm-hmm. not because she was worried about what was outside. And the door locked from the outside?
Yeah, and later they added a lock on the outside. Yeah. Which, again, it seemed like that could have been a sinister moment with even Jeremy if they wanted to play up his kind of craziness, uh-huh. where it's like, oh, because he was being respectful, like, do you mind if I put a lock on the outside just so you feel safe? I was like, that could have been like a crazy, like, Jeremy turns out to also be a murderer and he's going to murder Lowen or something, you know?
Yeah.
But nothing.
Nothing.
No, it's just she has nightmares sometimes and she walks around. So, really just disappointing all around. I feel like I was going to ask... Oh, thoughts on the cover?
I kind of like the cover a lot, but actually. But it doesn't do anything to the book. It doesn't make any sense.
Sorry if you hear dogs in the background right now. It just happens.
We'll give Oliver some credit on this episode.
Yeah, we'll put him in the show notes.
Featuring Oliver.
I mean, if you haven't seen the cover, it's a cool-looking cover.
I like the font a lot.
But, like, I don't understand. Not that everything has to relate to the books.
The connection doesn't... Yeah. Like, their identities are reflected. I don't know. Honestly, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I wish that I did. Man, I don't like... I think that I saw somebody on TikTok, because of course it was on TikTok, trying to see feasibly if they were alive for another... I think she was, like, figuring, like... 50 or 60 years. She's mm-hmm. probably about my age, in their 30s. She was like, how many books can I read a year? And that was a finite amount. It was like, there are only so many more books that I can read in my life.
Yeah.
And I feel about this one, I'm like, I wasted one. I wasted one of those books and I could have read something more and that I would have liked better or something. Like, and that's, like, Colleen Hoover, you're never going to listen to this because you don't need my criticism. And frankly, people put art into the world and you're allowed to criticize it. But I wish that I hadn't wasted my time because it's just like that that Twilight Zone episode. Like, I feel like my glasses broke and there was finally time and I wasted it on this book.
Under acknowledgements, she listed them in like numerical order and there's 41 acknowledgements, but number 39 is TikTok, specifically BookTok. Thank you so damn much. So thank you, TikTok, for also, you're also the reason why we read this book too. So yeah,
well, and here's the deal about BookTok. BookTok, can I talk to you for a moment?
All right. This is a one-on-one BookTok.
This is just me addressing BookTok. Get inclusive. Mm-hmm. And not only that, please start recommending authors that write what they know. I know that that's something that we talked about a lot. We talked about it with the John Green book, how I criticized his take on teenage girls because, he's not one.
And never has been.
And never has been.
Never will be.
And never will be. And I didn't hate that book as much as I hate this one. I just didn't prefer the perspective. But I've read several books that have been recommendations from BookTok, and they either have, I either have not done enough research about the authors, which is my fault. Okay. Yeah. We're talking like Where the Crawdads Sing. That's on me.
Yeah.
And if I'm being honest, I must have missed a lot of details in that because I literally thought the main character was black until I like went back, reread some things and then learned about the author and was like, oh, absolutely not. No, Felice, that was incredibly wrong. Same with, it's from the same author as Daisy Jones. The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. Yeah. Evelyn Hugo. I read that book and kind of questioned the bi-visibility of it all, especially a lot of the... that's not one that we did.
Well, I read it too,
Yeah, okay, so that's something... I probably even told you to read it. The bi-visibility and, like, the ethnic erasure that's inside of it is just kind of like, oh, and this was written by a white lady.
Yeah.
And it's all about mixed race people, and, after learning more about the author, I felt differently about the book, especially as, like, a cishet white woman writing about these experiences that she's never had. And it wasn't fetishized. Like, I don't feel like it was fetishized or anything like that, but as I'm, like, at least, I guess, Colleen Hoover, like, maybe you're writing what you know, but BookTok, you're doing me dirty, BookTok.
Yeah.
It can't all be frivolous fun, like ACOTAR. And don't at me if you if you're mad that I just said that ACOTAR is frivolous. Like,
it is frivolous.
It's not BL literature.
Yeah.
It's fun to read.
Yeah.
People refer to it as fairy porn.
Yeah.
Like, I suppose if I am talking to BookTok, I should have a little corn symbol next to it instead of actually saying the word. But like, do better, BookTok. Do better. And maybe I just need to follow better people, but do better.
But I mean, it's hard when it's like BookTok is, you know, a predominantly white heterosexual, you know, space. And I'm not saying, because it's like on my For You page, I feel like it's gotten a bit more diverse, which I'm very, very happy about. I'm getting to see literature from like very different perspectives, which is awesome. But that is not mainstream BookTok. That's why things like Verity are becoming like so cultish and stuff.
Well,
so.
And you have to go out of your way if you want to see, queer lit, if you want to see trans representation, or if you want to see like literally any other ethnicity.
Yeah.
But like once you get there and once you like enough videos, like you are getting more things. Like, I think I read Cemetery Boys because I saw it on BookTok, and like, thank God I read that book. It was so good. Like, it's almost spooky season. If you're looking for something spooky, read Cemetery Boys. Oh my God, read Cemetery Boys. It's so good. Yeah. Especially if you're an Angeleno, because it takes place in LA.
I'll have to read that one.
Yeah. But, Just do better.
Yeah.
Just do better, BookTok.
Yeah, definitely. That's all. Any other thoughts on Verity, or have we... I have one closing question.
Okay.
One good thing about the book?
What's one good thing about the book? It's original. Mm-hmm. I think I definitely... I feel like I've read stories or heard stories before of ghostwriting and that kind of stuff. But this idea of, like, the secret manuscript and, like, it's nothing that I've ever heard of before. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean I liked it, but it was a new concept. I've never heard, like, it's a new plot.
Yeah.
That's all. How about you?
I always like a book with multiple narrators. So, like, I like that it was kind of a chapter from Loewen's perspective, who was our main kind of unreliable narrator. And then we got a chapter of the the quote unquote, do we know it's an autobiography, mm-hmm. autobiography. Yeah. So I think it kept it interesting, not necessarily like that I liked it, but that's also another reason. It's like, as I'm reading this book, I also wanted to read the manuscript, but it was kept getting cut up with these Lowen chapters. So it's like, mm-hmm. not only was I trying to finish the book for the twist, I was trying to finish the manuscript as well.
Sure.
So, I mean, that is a big reason why I kind of like,
because it's in chronological order.
Yeah.
So it's like, it starts at the beginning of her and Jeremy's relationship, which is sus to begin with, because yeah. like, if you're writing your autobiography, it's, I'm sorry, that's disgusting. Is it literally starting with when you meet your husband? That's not when your life started.
Yeah.
Be a whole person on your own, lady.
Yeah, like, that's interesting that her autobiography started there and yeah. not anywhere. Like, she didn't do this writing exercise, like, with my mother's relationship or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, like so, like, that, okay, whatever. But, yes, so fresh and also not earth-shattering.
Yeah.
Okay, again, Lucy Foley, mm-hmm. if you like audiobooks and you mm-hmm. like free audiobooks on Hoopla,
yes.
Lucy Foley has, I think, 3 or 4 right now. One is The Hunting Party, then there's The Paris Apartment, several others. Each chapter is a different character, like you like.
Yeah.
Lots of times it's British characters and Scottish characters and Irish characters, so we get fun accents.
Love it.
And twisty.
Love
quick paced. If you liked Verity, you'll probably still like those ones, and maybe you'll find them a little bit more impressive just because they are realistic. The other one that I was mentioning earlier, maybe not to read, that I, again, got from Book Talk, it's my own darn fault. It was one of those things, like, do you ever look on Libby and see, like, what's available now?
Oh, yeah.
What can I read right now? It was one of those, mm-hmm. and it was called Behind Her Eyes.
Mm. Haven't heard about that one.
Okay, I saw it on, like, a list of... And it was somebody, you know how they do those artistic things on TikTok where they show the book and they're like, twist, I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
Twist, I never guessed. I was like, okay, all right, a twist you'd never guess. I'll read that book.
No. Did you guess it?
Yes, and also not soon enough because, again, supernatural twist.
Yeah.
Not my bag.
Yeah.
So if you want that and you want, like, anything to be possible... I don't know. Just read Dark Matter, if that's what you want.
I like Dark Matter.
Yeah, read that instead.
It's been a minute, actually, since I read
that. Do you have any recommendations before we leave? And we should introduce our next book also.
Yes. Recommendations. I'm currently reading... I don't know if this is a recommendation yet, because I'm literally one chapter in. But I'm currently reading A Good Girl's Guide to Murder.
I've heard good things.
Yeah, and that was one where I had a Barnes & Noble gift card. I was looking at, like, some of their bestsellers. And so I was like, you know what? I'll give this one a go. Seems cute to begin with. Anything by Casey McQuiston, always totally mm-hmm. different genre, but just because we've read so many of the books that I was like, yeah, might as well. Twisty-wise, I don't think I've read anything recently, so I don't know if any recommendations there, but I'm also currently reading, I just read Landline by Rainbow Rowell.
Mm-hmm.
That one was interesting. Tinge of supernatural, only in the sense that they're playing with something that wouldn't make sense in the real world, but it's okay. Not like fairies and whatever. It's sure. like a magical landline, like an actual phone that she's kind of playing with time with.
Mm-hmm.
Very fun. And also just like a fun kind of romance, easy, quick read type of thing.
Yeah. So. Okay. All right. Well, I looked it up so I could remember, so I could like actually be cool to Courtney and tell the name of her book. It's called In the Event of Love.
Mm.
And so that's something that I'm looking forward to. Maybe I'll start that this week. I am reading one of the Sarah J. Maas Throne of Glass books. I think it's like book 7. It's massive, massively long. And so I'm struggling because I'm also reading it on my sister's Kindle. And the only place I have access to my sister's Kindle is on my phone. Because yeah. my Kindle is hooked up to my actual Kindle and my iPad. I so gotcha. It's like I'm reading it on this tiny screen. So it's so hard to get through. And I said before, Dangerous Education, that's also on my TBR, as well as a few others. I've got some, what's her name? Katie Holt. She does all those, like, Disney, like, really trashy, spicy books where it's like, ooh, this one's about Hades, and this one's about... I'm going to have to look it up. Kate something or other. I don't remember her name. But if, like, people on Spicy Book Talk will probably be shouting at me. Neon Gods, that's the name of that book. I can totally tell you.
I saw that one. So I went to, on our mini moon, we went to Portland, went to Powell's Bookstore. We spent an inordinate amount
Katie Robert.
We spent too much money on books. Not too much money. Just, like...
the perfect amount.
Yeah, like, a lot of the lovely, lovely wedding gifts of money that received went towards books.
You know what? I support you in that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We spent...
I'm glad I gave you money. Now yeah, I can know it what went toward books.
It was so funny checking out. Because normally, like, we do Portland, you know, fairly often. Yeah. Especially when pre-pandemic and stuff. We went, like, once a year. And Powell's is our favorite. We go around. We usually each pick, like, two new books. Sure. We go to check out whatever. Because... usually we also do, like, free stuff and library and whatever.
Well, and you also fly.
Yeah.
You didn't.
And we didn't. So we could just pack as many into our car as we wanted. We went around and we had to, like, really, like, we would fill our basket with, like, 20 bucks. And then we'd be like, okay, let's pare down. And then we'd do it again. We'd walk around. We spent, like, 4 hours in there and spent far too much money.
That's amazing.
But it was, I have hours and hours of entertainment now. So
I love it. But you got a Katie Roberts.
Yes, Neon Gods.
You got Neon Gods. Okay. Yeah, the one that I have is the one that is Jafar. Yeah. And it started with, like, non-consensual, consensual sex. And I was like, I need a break.
Spicy.
It was 6 pages in, Taylor. It was like nothing. It was really so fast. And my friend Brianna was like, you got to stick with it. Just stick with it. It's great. And I was like,
okay, deep breath.
So that's on my TBR. I need to do that. But maybe let's talk rating.
Yeah, let's rate it.
Okay.
I'll pick the rating for the drink if you pick the rating for the book. So I'm going to go.
Okay.
With for I don't know if there's any significant numbers in here.
Really, they probably had this. How many books that Verity had written? But I don't know. I don't know. What it was.
Let's just say that there's six. Or no, I got a better one. So there's for the drink. There's 25 chapters in the book.
Okay.
So out of 25, and my thing, I'm gonna pick 25 canoes.
25 canoes.
Because they were in the canoe.
Sure.
Yeah. I know. Rough. But this is a rough book. So out of 25 canoes or kayaks. Okay. I'll start.
Yeah.
I'm going with the drink, right? That's what I said?
Yeah.
You know what? Wasn't as bad as I thought. So got some. Definitely wouldn't get a second one.
No.
Rum isn't usually my drink of choice.
No. It wasn't very rummy either. It kind of just tasted like alcohol.
Where's my calculator here?
I kind of think I messed up. I don't know anything about rum, you guys. I just bought a bottle.
I'm going to go with...
Are you giving it a grade?
Yes. I'm going to go with 19
out
of 25 kayaks or canoes.
Okay.
That's, like, just under a B.
Mm-hmm.
Like, reaching for that B, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, like, still had an enjoyability factor, but not going to be a fave, not going to be a reorder.
No, but I'm going to give it an 18 for myself, but I have a feeling that... most of the gentlemen we know, maybe your husband excluded, would enjoy this. Yeah. So I bet, like, Casey and my husband and Steven, like, those are people that would be like, ooh, this is interesting in the mouthfeel. Yeah. And, like, we sounded a little douchey at the beginning because I did say the word mouthfeel, which I feel like I hated myself for a little bit at that moment. But I think I would make it for them. I think that they would probably rate it a little bit higher. I am happy that the cacao really did balance out the peach. Like, I wonder if the spirit was different or if you used a different kind of rum, like a light rum instead of a dark rum.
Yeah.
But the recipe called for dark rum. So 18. 18 is definitely it. I'm going to rate mine, I think just out of the number of children.
Three?
Yeah, just out of three. And I'm going to give it a half-drowned child. So what is that, like 0.5?
Oh, rough.
I'm gonna give it less than one. So like a half drowned child. A half drowned child.
Oof.
A child who's treading water.
Yeah.
So sad. You gave it like a half person at one point in time.
I did, but wasn't that during like a
it might have been Wicked. I don't know.
I don't know.
I feel like you decapitated something.
I think it did, but I think it was in a book that decapitations happen, so.
Okay, well, someone drowns in this too. It's a child treading water. I'm going to give that a 0.5 out of 3.
All
right. Oh, that's a I was going to swear again. That's a crappy grade.
I think we've already
sworn. Really bad grade.
Yeah.
That is a 16%.
I mean, you know.
God, no way, man.
I want to meet you there.
Oh, you just got to find a...
a was just trying
an analogy.
But all of them are so dark, I don't want to say them out loud.
I mean, mine was really bad.
Mine is probably worse.
Oh, good. Okay. This is Verity, all right?
Well, I was just
what would Verity do?
I know. I was thinking about her manuscript. So it's like anything I say isn't coming from my imagination. It's coming
Verity.
From her autobiography.
Exactly. It's not. It can't possibly be from your brain. Just do it.
I can't.
You have to do it.
I want to go with half a child as well. I'll go with like a half a child choking on peanut butter.
Oh, an anaphylactic child.
Yeah, an anaphylactic child choking on peanut butter. I'm sorry. It's terrible, but...
I mean, she murdered her children. I believe the manuscript. I do. Yeah. You know what?
You think the note was a cop-out?
Come at me. The note was totally a cop-out. She did it. She absolutely did it. Yeah. She's a horrible person.
And I think Jeremy's a horrible person. Because
he
actually
printed it out, right? Like, it wasn't a file in her... Was it a file in her computer?
That he deleted. Because he originally read it on the computer, deleted it, tried to get rid of the evidence. But then he didn't know that the actual printed version that Loan found was...
Right. Yeah, why would you print that? Why would you print that?
Because it was going to be for a writing course, right? She was going to teach writers how to...
Be psychopaths?
Yes, apparently.
Anyway, well, I think next we are actually going to have a special guest on our next episode.
Yes.
I'm really excited to have our friend Zachary, who is... We talked about him a bunch because he's given us a bunch of recommendations.
Yes.
Which is really, really wonderful.
Great recommendations, too.
Yeah. And generally recommendations that make me feel nice.
Yeah.
Like, not this.
Feel good.
I didn't feel good reading this, but most Zachary recommendations are good. And so next episode is going to be Casey McQuiston's I Kissed Shara.
I don't know.
Wheeler.
I might try and find an interview and see if I can get a pronunciation on that before next episode.
Maybe I'll just download the audiobook and see like how they read it. But definitely check it out. Check us out. Subscribe to us on iTunes. On Spotify. However you listen to your podcast for Drunk Poet Society. I almost said Drunk Podcast. Only had one cocktail, you guys.
At @DPS_podcast on all the socials.
At Drunk Poet Society Podcast at gmail.com if you'd like to send us information. And if you want to send us a voice message, it's been a minute.
It has.
You can get us on...
Anchor.fm/Drunk Poet Society, and you can leave us a voice message there. There's also an app for that.
And here's the deal. Now that we're back, maybe we will try. Maybe. We do have a TikTok account. It has no videos. We'll work on it. Maybe we'll figure it out. Maybe we'll have some cocktails. Maybe we'll have some books. But
maybe we'll get on Book Talk and start suggesting other authors.
Yes. Oh, I would love that.
We'll see.
One of my boss, her favorite saying is, do your best until you know better and then do better. Mm-hmm. I think that's Maya Angelou.
I like that.
And that's how I feel about Book Talk. Like, do your best and then once you know better, do better.
I like that. That's a good quote.
All right. Well, it's been real, guys. We're happy to be back.
Yeah, it feels good. Feels good to be reading and drinking again. No, wait. Yeah. And of course, let's see if I do this correctly.
Okay, let's
see. Just remember that it's not drinking alone.
If you have a book.
I did it.
You did it. All right. Bye, everybody.